Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class, a short Bible study, 7 days a week, about 13, 14 minutes. But it keeps us in God's Word, and that helps keep us strong in our faith and even grow stronger, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But it also helps keep us focused on our spiritual lives and on our relationship with God. And that's important, because there are all kinds of forces out there, and the devil will use them however he can to draw us away from, to try to get us off track, to keep us out of focus on our relationship with God and upon our Christian lives. Help people in your life by sharing these studies through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. Help them stay strong and help them get to heaven. Make that commitment and start sharing today with everyone you can. We're going to get back into our line of thought and study. We're asking the question, how can I keep from falling? And, you know, from a physical perspective, we, as we said, there are all kinds of warnings and encouragements, you know, about, you know, safety, physical safety. You know, be careful, don't fall, don't trip, you know, and especially as people get older, those warnings become more and more important, because lots of older folks, they end up tripping over a furniture at home, or maybe tripping over a curb, or tripping over a crack in the sidewalk, and whatever it might be, and they end up falling and maybe breaking a hip, or breaking a, you know, a lower leg or an arm, or maybe breaking, you know, maybe hitting their head, and that may contribute to them ultimately dying. I've heard of all kinds. I know of all kinds of people who have fallen and really injured themselves. And in some cases, older people who have ended up dying after having fallen, sometime after trying to recover from that, and it can just have ultimately a life-changing and a life-taking effect if they're not careful. Not too long ago, I was doing some painting outside my house, and thinking I had stepped all the way back off the step stool onto the ground, I realized quickly I had missed one step, and I ended up falling a couple of times. Thankfully, I was okay. But you see the danger there. Well, that's simply from a physical perspective, but we're talking about, how can I keep from falling spiritually? How can I keep from falling away from my faithfulness to God, away from my dedication, away from my salvation? Now again, a whole lot of churches, they're out there teaching that once you're saved, you're always saved. That's not what the Scriptures teach. And we've looked at a number of texts of Scripture that demonstrate that clearly. And we could go on and on and on, but I think we should have already gotten the point across. You can read Galatians 5 and verse 4, where the Apostle Paul warns Christians in Galatia that if they took up some of the false teaching that some false teachers were teaching them, Paul speaks in the past tense as though it had already happened. He said, you have become estranged, that is, cut off from Christ. You have fallen from grace. Now, that means you're lost if you go in that direction. Well, we looked at other texts of Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, where Paul tells Timothy, you keep preaching the word, you keep preaching diligently, because there's people are out there, they're going to want to hear what they want to hear. They're going to want to have their ears scratched, and so they're going to find teachers who's going to make them feel good in their lack of dedication and faithfulness. So you keep teaching the word. That's the best way to stand against their becoming filled with and accepting error, doctrinal error. We looked at Revelation 2 and verse 10. If you can't be lost once you're saved, if you can't fall from salvation, then why in the world did Jesus say, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life? If you can't fall away, if you can't fall back into sin, if you can't fall back into condemnation, if you turn back into sin after having been saved, why would he say that? Why would he say that? But again, Galatians 5 and verse 4 warns us that you can fall from grace. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verses 1 through 3 say the same thing. We read about a Christian couple in the congregation in Jerusalem who lied about how much they were giving or what they were giving, the proportion that they were giving, after they had sold a piece of property and brought part of the proceeds to the apostles to help needy folk, needy Christians in the area. They said they'd brought it all, but they lied. They held back some of it. Now, holding back some of it, Peter says, that was fine, but you shouldn't have lied about it. And so God brought judgment upon both that man and woman, Ananias and Sapphira, by striking them dead on the spot. Do you think they went to heaven? I think we get the message, don't we? Now, I want us to read a text from Matthew chapter 13. And this is a parable from Jesus. So he says, beginning with verse 1, I'm in Hebrews chapter 12. And I do want to read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 first to, again, just even solidify this understanding. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, in other words, every hindrance, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, whatever those temptations the devil throws at us that might pull us back into sin, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, Paul's talking, or rather the Hebrews writer there is talking about staying faithful as a Christian. Why would he write that if there was no way to become unfaithful? If there was no way to lose our salvation? You see, just from a logical perspective, that would make no sense for him to write that down if there was no way for us to be lost once we had been saved, if we go back into unfaithfulness, go back into sinfulness. Now, Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 5, Jesus is teaching a parable here. I want to go back actually to verse 3. He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed, fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched and became, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns and thistles, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, four kinds of ground that Jesus uses by illustration, by way of illustrating, that God's word is like seed. He's talking about God's word when he says the sower went out to sow seed. The sower would be a teacher, Jesus being the initial teacher of Christianity here. And so Jesus came teaching. He came sowing the seed of the gospel message of forgiveness and salvation through him as our Savior and God's Son. That's what he came doing, preaching the gospel. And so what he's getting across here, and it's still the principle still stands today, when we go out and try to teach God's word, sometimes it's like sowing seed in a field, and some of that seed falls by the wayside. Now, the wayside was a path between fields in that part of the world at that time. And so it was kind of like a path, a walking path. And you can imagine that as the farmers and everybody would walk down those paths over and over and over and over and over again, they get really packed down. They get hard. So he said, the sower sows some of the seed. It falls on the wayside, which just stands and lays in the top of the soil there, and it's all packed down. The birds see it. It's easy prey for them. They just come and eat it up. Then he said, well, some of the seed falls on stony places, and it grows up quickly. It takes a little bit of root, but because it's stony places, It doesn't have much root, so the sun comes out, scorches it, it dies quickly. Some of it falls among thorns and thistles, and the thorns choke it out, so it cannot produce either. And then the fourth kind of seed is the good ground. Good ground, fertile, it takes the seed, the seed germinates, plants start to grow, and a crop grows. And he says sometimes it'll produce 100-fold, sometimes 60, sometimes 30, but it produces, it grows. Now, some people, they're like, when they hear the gospel, they're like that seed that fell on the wayside. It does absolutely has no effect on them whatsoever. It does not move them to repent and change their lives and come to God through Jesus Christ to be baptized for the remission of their sins. Does not move them at all in that direction. Some folks, they're like the thorns and the thistles. Their life is so caught up in sinfulness that, again, they hear it, but they can't give up, or at least they refuse to give up. They don't want to give up. They can't bring themselves, can't discipline themselves to give up the sinful lifestyles that they're living. And so it does not produce. The thorns choke out the seed. Others, they're like the stony ground. And so they hear it, and quickly they respond. They believe. They're baptized. But they don't last very long, because they don't continue to nurture that spiritual growth that has begun within their lives. And so they just don't pay much attention. And so the devil keeps working on them, the temptations keep, you know, confronting them, and they keep going back into sin. And so what spiritual growth they experienced was short-lived, and they fall away quickly. They fall away. Now, what is the question? What is the basic theme of this study? How can I keep from falling? And then there are those, they hear the word and they truly take it in, and they are sincere and dedicated, and they quickly want to keep learning, and they want to apply themselves to growing spiritually, and they become stronger and stronger and more dedicated Christians. We want to be like the good ground. We want to grow spiritually. We don't want to fall away. We certainly don't want to be like the seed that fell on the wayside and never took any root in our hearts whatsoever. We don't want to be like the seed that fell among the thorns and the thistles. And again, we might think, well, yeah, that's good. It might move us a little bit, but, I don't want to give up this lifestyle. I'm living in sin, but I don't want to give this up. So it never really takes any kind of full root. We don't want to be like the stony ground where we embrace it initially and quickly we obey the gospel and are baptized into Christ. But we don't pay close enough attention. We're not dedicated, and we quickly fall away. We want to be the good ground. How can I keep from falling? We've got to make up our minds. We'll look further next time. Let's pray. Father, help us to be the good ground. Help us to take in the seed that is your word and apply it to our hearts, our lives, and to grow in our faith, Father, and to stay faithful. Help us with this, Father. Please, we pray. Please, Father, please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.